City. You gotta be kidding. First of all, never heard of it.
I'm going to change that, Wally. We've got a witness in a hurry. Ms. Benville?
Good morning.
State your name.
Hardly recognize you there.
Senator Brown, Senator Carson, if I may, I'll be as brief as possible. I'm Don Pencil. I'm the Director of Courts, Elections, and Records Administration for Lane County, in which capacity I've served for 5 years. This position encompasses responsibilities that are regularly those of the county clerk in a general law county, and I was a county clerk in a general law county for 9 years prior to joining Lane County. During my tenure as a public official responsible for the issuing of marriage licenses, one of the major problems that has been encountered in performing the mechanics of that process has been the administering of the requirements of the waiting period. These difficulties substantially increased after September 1963, when the waiting period was increased from 3 days to the present 7-day waiting period. I'd be happy to expound upon the difficulties that this procedure has caused county clerks throughout the state, but I'm sure that's not what the committee would be greatly concerned with. Nor was that actually my motivation for requesting Representative Kulongowski to introduce this legislation, and it was requested on behalf of the County Clerks Association by myself. The predominant reason for requesting the legislation was that it would offer us an opportunity to provide a better service to a particular element of the public. And it is my belief that the waiting period, as presently encompassed in the law, provides only another measure of bureaucratic red tape that, for most intents and purposes, serves no really practical purpose. My experience would tell me that the agreement of two people on a matter of this import is not a spur-of-the-moment situation, and it is not something that should be or can be culminated in a moment of passion or of indecision. There is no suggestion on my part or any of the county clerks or in the bill that we should do away with the provisions of the statute that require the medical examination, parental consent in the case of a minor, or the affidavits of the witnesses. With the high degree of mobility of our population, and in particular the younger element of our population, and those are the ones who are most often the recipients of this service, we find that the waiting requirement inflicts a considerable amount of personal expense and inconvenience. Many times they're away at school, or they might be in the military service, or they might be in pursuit of their vocation, their job, and they must journey for some considerable distance to secure the license in order that the wedding ceremony can be performed in the presence of their family and friends. And in these times of apparent promiscuity, and in view of the number of persons who are living together without the benefit of the wedding ceremony, it's my belief that it would behoove us greatly to remove from the process as many impediments as are reasonably possible. According to information that I've had verified by Martindale Hubbell Law Dictionary, Volume 6, Law Digest, 1975, only one state, and that is New York, has a waiting period in all of the 50 that is longer than Oregon's 7-day waiting period.
And how many have a 7-day waiting period?
Only two have a 7-day waiting period, and those are the only two that are longer than 5 days. Seven states have 5-day period, and only one has a 4-day time span. 17 states require a 3-day wait. One requires 2 days. One requires 24 hours. And the remaining 20 require no waiting period at all after the other qualifications have been met. And that is what 3028 suggests to the state of Oregon, that there would be no waiting period after the other qualifications had been met.
Don, knowing the state of trying to get into a doctor to be examined on any grounds, how long do you think would, from the time you decide to get married and go down to the doctor, how long, do you have any idea how long you have to wait to get your physical, your examination?
Senator Carson, that would in itself probably be the greatest waiting period, would be getting to the doctor and the doctor processing the blood test, because The law requires now that the doctor's certificate state there's evidence of, there's no evidence of venereal disease. And to say that with any degree of real certainty is going to require a blood test, and it depends upon your personal physician, your choice of physicians, of how long that might take. The other mechanics, the producing of a witness who could would swear an affidavit that there was no legal impediment to the marriage, that the facts as stated on the application were correct, could of course be performed in a very short time, the same amount of time as might take the application. It would reduce the mechanics in the clerk's office considerably. By actual count or an examination in Lane County, there's indication that 15% of all of the applicants for marriage licenses now apply to one of the judges for a waiver of that waiting period. And to my knowledge, very few, if any of these, are denied. However, different judges around the state have different requirements of this. Some of the judges require them to fill out a form. Some of the judges require that they be counseled by a minister, depending upon circumstances. And yet, in other instances, some of the judges have pre-signed forms with their secretaries that that they're issued quite liberally. But I think one of the other great points of import in this bill, other than expediting this matter for those people utilizing the service for the convenience of the mechanics of the county clerks, but is one that you particularly in this committee are probably extremely well aware of, and that is the saving of that judicial time that is so badly needed and in other areas and is also so expensive to the taxpayer. And those three reasons as enumerated there are the motivations that the clerks have for urging the passage of the bill.
Don, do you have any figures on how many applications are taken out and not returned? In other words, during that, I suppose the major justification is 3 or 7 days of the so-called cooling off period for the people that rush down and say, let's get married, and then they have now 7 or 3 days to decide they really want to do it. Do you have any information on how many cool off during that cooling off period?
I have not prepared that statistic itself, but I can tell you that that figure is very minimal, because after a period of time when that number in the numerical sequence of applications has not been used, we withdraw that application and go back and reuse it again. And this is a procedure that we have to encounter very seldom.
I understand there's a problem with the bill as far as the medical examination is concerned. I don't really see it myself, but I've been told that Representative Kulongowski has withdrawn his support from the bill. I don't know that's true. He didn't tell me.
Excuse me.
But because of the premarital medical exam.
He doesn't want the premarital
medical exam? He does want it, and I was told there was some problem about it by eliminating the time period. I don't
Senator,
see it.
If I may, the only area of discussion that I have heard encountered with this was that the blood test is implied in the statute, however not set forth with specificity. The blood test, the requirement for the blood test, as I see it, is the fact that it's the only test with certainty that a doctor can give prior to issuing the certificate.
I don't quite understand. You say it's implied. What do you mean?
A medical certificate is required. Whether the doctor, what steps the doctor uses to prior to issuing that certificate, I think is discretionary with the doctor. However, I've been informed by my physician and others that the blood test is the only way that a physician can with absolute certainty issue a certificate stating there is no presence of venereal disease.
Further questions? Thank you, sir.
Yeah,
Hospital, 2806. Mr. Winter? Can you state your name, please, for the record?
Senator Brown, my name is William Winter. A private investigator for the past 18 years, own two process serving companies, one in Beaverton, one in Salem, Wendy Service Company in Beaverton, Lyons Legal Process Serving in Salem. I represent the Oregon Process Servers Association and speak on behalf of the Oregon Sheriff's Association, the Oregon Collectors Association, in saying that we support House Bill 2806, which was passed as amended. We have a slight problem in the process serving industry since the law was changed in the last session and was adopted in November. It seems that we can't feasibly operate services at $4 a paper on small claims. We requested 7.5 and we received a $6 compromise out of the House. I think that the bill as written is quite self-explainable. We're simply in a position where we're losing revenue at the present time. If the private process servers, especially in the metropolitan area, are forced out of business, it will necessitate an additional staff in all three counties, and in Multnomah County they lost $90,000 last year on process serving alone. At the present time, Multnomah County is considering coming to the private process server on a contract basis just in order to survive. They're in trouble. If we can't have some kind of a reasonable rate within which we can work, we'll also be in trouble because we face many of the same problems that you as attorneys face, in that our E&O insurance has gone up more than double. The cost of gasoline is obviously going up. It has gone up. These are the problems that we face, and this is the reason that we came to the legislature requesting a request on the raise of the rate.
Questions? Senator Carson.
Could you address yourself to, and perhaps you're not, that's not part of your bill, but Section 3, starting on page 4, is that part of your, that's not part of your request, is it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, could you tell me why you want to delete the first paragraph?
Well, as it stands right now, originally, of course, all small claims above 200 could be filed in district court. Now everything below 500 is filed in small claims. There were too many people that were bagging out on paying their bills. And then when they were sued, they'd force a compromise, or they wouldn't, or they could get out of paying the filing fee, and they could get out of paying the service fee by paying within the first 10 days. Now, with this not being done, more and more people, we feel, will be more reasonable towards settling without going to court to begin with.
Well,
this is a protective device for the collection agencies.
But my concern is that, and I don't have the rest of the statute in front of me, but by you're working on a notice, not working on the substantive law. Now, maybe the statute's badly drawn, but there ought to be something else in here that deprives the defendant of the right to settle within that 10 days. All you're talking about here is, John can correct me or anybody else, that it looks to me like you're talking merely about the notice, and all you're doing is deleting the notice to the defendant that he can avoid these costs if he pays. If he's smart enough to know he can avoid it, he can still avoid it.
No, sir. Quite the contrary. I don't mean to contradict you, but the intent was that notice would be sent out warning them that they would be filed upon if they did not pay within the given grace period, which was 30 days, At the end of that time, part of the letter would explain that court costs and service costs would be assessed against them, and that they could avoid those by paying without the suit being filed. Once the suit is filed, I refer you to page 5, sir. If the debtor does not pay the debt within 30 days of receipt of the demand, if the creditor prevails in any action commenced under ORS 46.425, costs shall be assessed against the debtor. This is on page 5, sir, of section 4. Does that perhaps answer your question?
Well, it certainly explains clearly where you're trying to go, and I think my problem is I've got to decide whether you're really getting there or not, but that's my problem, not yours. I think I understand where you want to go, so thank you.
Yes, sir.
Multnomah County has a bill in to contract for services from organizations like yours on the basis that they would save $100,000 if they did so. If your fees were raised, then they would not save the $100,000?
Yes, ma'am. There are a number of different ways. Number one, they have a union that serves the constables, and the constables' fees are guaranteed. The majority of us that are in the private process serving business, and there are basically three of us that split for them, we don't have to pay as much to still get as good a quality service, because we're all non-union. That's number one. Number two, I think we're better organized and more efficient. Number three, we don't hesitate to go out at 3 o'clock in the morning to serve papers. You know, when the papers are there to be served, my people will go up. It doesn't matter what time of day or night, as long as they're not interrupting somebody's sleep.
Thank you, sir. Back to 3028, Dr. Terry.
Straighten my speech. Chairman, members of the committee, 3029 is a bill that takes away any waiting period in regard to marriage after issuing a license. It was almost jokingly considered in the House Committee, of which I'm a member. The way the law now reads, or is interpreted at any rate, does not require a serological test for syphilis. It does require a examination by a physician. It also requires a 7-day waiting period. The question was whether 7-day waiting period was necessary or desirable, and some of us thought it might be cut to, say, 3 days. Then it came out that, you've got to have a doctor's examination on who can get an appointment with a doctor within 3 days. And I subscribe that it could be done, it might be done, and that what has actually happened is that there is no limit to, or there's no time lapse at all. I'll also call your attention, I believe, not a lawyer, but as I recall, we have a law that says if you buy an encyclopedia or a vacuum cleaner from a traveling salesman, you have a week to think it over and reconsider it. You could do that for an encyclopedia or vacuum cleaner, but under this bill you can't do it on a marriage. And I do think that at least some waiting period is desirable, particularly a long enough period to sober up in certain instances where this might result in a rather unstable and poor marriage. And I would urge that in line 13 that be reinstated, and my suggestion would be maybe 3 days would be a good compromise. I'll also call your attention to the fact that there is a reason for cutting out any waiting period that can be done as specified by a judge.
Question?
Dr. Howe, in the normal course of events, how long does a physician, once he's given the examination for the medical certificate, wait for the blood test to be returned normally?
The present law, as I understand it, the ruling is made by the Board of Health, or what used to be the Board of Health, and the doctor may make the decision as to whether a blood test is required. If there's no history, no lesion, the blood test is not required, and it is seldom done. Actually, there are two or three positives in 100,000 cases, something like that. It's not really significant, and most marriage certificates do not have the exam now. The blood test, I should say.
Mm-hmm. I thought we were supposed to be having a terrific problem.
Yeah. Having what?
Having a terrific problem of venereal disease.
Venereal disease, there is a terrific problem in venereal disease, but it's almost all gonorrhea and not syphilis, and the blood test does not cover gonorrhea. The physical examination does, but not the blood test.
Further questions? Thank you, Dr. Chair.
Sure.
2337, Mick Brett.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Michael Gillette, State Solicitor General. 2337 is a measure designed to take care of a small but embarrassing hole which appears in gambling law. That is to say, we discovered that we've omitted a definition of unlawful gambling. And since unlawful gambling is a substantive offense, it seems appropriate to try to provide some definition, therefore. So the entire bill appears at line 21 on page 5. Unlawful means not specifically authorized by law. As it now stands, most gambling prosecutions, unless they're based upon the use of some kind of gambling device which is otherwise specifically prohibited by law, simply won't float. We discovered that in Clackamas County gambling prosecutions earlier this year. I'm stuck with trying to explain to the Court of Appeals why it is that we've got prosecutions get that far and suddenly it lets exist. Maybe it shouldn't have gotten that far. Prosecutors have not caught this either. We just caught up with it in the process. You recall that this law was amended 3 times in 3 sessions, in the regular session, the special session, and the second special session. And somewhere along the way, administratively or somewhere, we dropped a paragraph, and it was the wrong one to drop.
It was amended about 4 times the last day of the session, I think.
Yeah. One of the amendments was either a joke or an accident.
Right.
But I don't really think so. Anyway, the problem we would like to get clear.
Was this through the bingo?
No, bingo is still illegal. It's a lottery.
Okay. Other questions? Thank you. 2106, Bob Oliver.
Bob just stepped out to put some money in his car meter.
Who wants to go first? Mike?
Can we all come up?
Okay.
We got a show to do?
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Gordon Fultz. I represent the Association of Oregon County, appearing today in favor of House Bill 2106. With me are several sanitarians from various counties throughout the state who are also in favor of this measure. What this bill attempts to do is respond to problems that were created from legislation in the 73 session.
We have some cuts.
In 1973, there were 3 measures passed. I remember the Senate Bill 381, 382, and another one, which transferred authority over the inspections of swimming pools, restaurants, and tourist facilities from the county to the state. It was intended that with that transfer, that the state would then in turn contract back with the counties all of the authority in those programs to those counties which were felt to be adequately staffed and capable of carrying out that authority with regulation to inspections. problems we've had, however, was that the contracts back to the counties were incomplete. They did not include enforcement authority or licensing authority. We found delayed reimbursement in the last 2 years for the inspections that were made by the counties, and delayed licensing. Many restaurants, in some cases, went for many months without being licensed because of the administrative delays with the health division. I have a packet here of some of the problems that you'll be able to see were caused by or were reflected in various counties, in addition to the last two pages, which indicate the fees that are now being charged and the split of those fees between the state and the county. An interesting thing with the fees, which are set by statute, they have to reflect the highest cost to the highest county. Otherwise, it would put the county in doing the inspections without getting adequate reimbursement. But unfortunately, the requirement means that all counties must charge that fee. Now, our amendments to these statutes, reflected in 2106, do three basic things. One, they require the state to delegate to the counties, which request such delegation, the authority to carry out these inspection programs, the complete authority, including inspections, licensing, enforcement, and issuance of permits. Secondly, they allow the county the option of either using the statutory fee or using or setting their own reasonable fee. This, we think, will produce some savings in those counties where the statutory fee is much higher than the cost that they now have to charge. The third thing is, and we've had problems with this, and you have a bill in this committee to address this particular issue, that being House Bill 2281, the requirement that in any suit arising from the administration of the state regulations by a county, that the state be made a party to that suit. We've had examples with the Department of Environmental Quality where in our administration of the subsurface sewage regulations, we have been sued on the basis of carrying out their regulations and have not found them to be interested in being a party to that suit. So this just reflects on the health division, requires them to become involved. I'll turn it over now to perhaps Mike Sandberg, the supervising sanitarian in Washington County, to explain some of the problems that they've encountered.
Madam Chair, committee, I'm with Washington County and I'm speaking for our Board of Commissioners on expressing in favor of this bill to return licensing and enforcement to the county. The problems we've had in the past has been, Gordon said, there's been some, we had 34 restaurants last year that were not licensed, and two travel facilities and 60 to 70 swimming pools were not licensed last year. Reason for this is the amount of tremendous amount of facilities throughout the state that the state must license. Now, the county that we have in the past, prior to the last legislature, did license and enforce all rules and regulations of the state. And we feel that we can do the same program and do it just as well or better than the county, because at a local level we do provide many, many services other than the inspection and enforcement of the program. There's talks to schools, there's aiding the restaurants and the mobile home operators and their type of program, whereas the state is strictly a inspection of program on the county level. It's very difficult for them to do this type of a job that we do now. Counties in the past, I think what really brought this up was there was laxity on both sides of the counties and the state not to maintain the program. The state was there to make sure that keep a survey on the county, which they didn't do properly, and some of the counties were not properly doing their job. I think with 2106, it's a mandatory requirement of the state to maintain adequate surveillance on the counties if they're doing their job. I think a well-rounded program can be attained at a much reduced cost for the public.
Oh, my name is Clarence Sherman. I'm with the Marion County Health Department, and it's always been our contention that the health division didn't carry out the legislative intent because they withheld the authority by insisting that they issue all licenses and collect all the fees. We've been advised that the authority rests with the licensing agency, and as a result, the counties have been reduced to an inspection and referral agency. So as a result, very little has been done in the way of enforcement due to several things because of the extended lines of communication between the licensees and the departments. With an estimated, just speaking of restaurants alone, an estimated 6,000 restaurants in the state with licenses being issued from one central point, and I think you can readily see the problems encountered. The counties have been sort of given a job to do, and at the same time, their hands have been tied, so as a result, they've been inspecting and referring. And there's been some resulting complicated clerical procedures that have added to the chaos. There's been delays in issuance and of licenses, and some of the licenses being issued when they shouldn't have been issued, or they should have been withheld, or even denied, for that matter. And I think we've all recognized that the health division should maintain a program of surveillance over county activities by routine surveys. And of course, if the counties are not performing satisfactorily, then that program delegation should be withdrawn. But counties shouldn't be placed in a position of just inspection and referral without authority to act. And we feel that contracts really aren't necessary, because all it would take would be a delegation of authority. And we certainly support the concept of House Bill 2106 because it provides complete delegation of authority, responsibility, and the function to those counties desiring and having that capability. And I believe the House Bill 2106 will clarify what I feel was the intent of the previous legislature.
Yes, sir. Did you wish the others to get
Yes, that? I would like to, Madam Chairman. Kes Hoddle, who is the Director of Community Services, is that right, for Lane County? Something like that.
I have copies of a prepared testimony as well as statements from the Lane County Board of Commissioners expressing their concerns about this type of need for this type of legislation. I've been director of the Lane County Department of Community Health and Social Services for about 4 years, and prior to that time, I was 12 years with the State Health Division, performing the role of coordination of state and local health services, assisting with problems of public health administration as it related to the counties. During that time, I think I got some very good vibes that we were creating a good state-local partnership on administration of community health services, and that philosophically is where I'm at. And for that reason, I'm really uncomfortable about appearing before you today. I think with the State Health Division, we do have an excellent partnership as it relates to their Office of Community Health Services and their Office of Preventive Medical Services, but we've been entirely unable to communicate and work out our problems in the Environmental Health Services. And for this reason, there seems to be a certain level of paranoia that exists, and I'd like to trace, if I may, why I think it does exist in our county and really statewide. 2 years ago, when the legislation was introduced taking the authority of licensing and enforcement and control of environmental sanitation services away from the counties and giving it to the state, I attempted to introduce legislation clarifying that for those counties able and willing, that they should be able to administer the entire package of services, including licensing and enforcement, inspection, surveillance, and so on. I was assured at that time by the then administrator of the State Health Division that there would be no problem. We were subsequently mailed contracts, which did not make it possible to subcontract the entire administration of programs, but retained licensing and enforcement with the state, and leaving us with inspection and consultation, And in addition to that, requiring us to perform all of the other related sanitation services that related to facilities for which there were no fees. And also retained an undue proportion, we thought, of the fees of the state when we were doing most of the work. So when we attempted to sit down and say, you know, we think there are problems, we were told the contracts were non-negotiable. And so we were in a situation, even though our county commissioners were very unhappy about being treated in this way for the interest of providing the best quality environmental sanitation services we could, we went ahead and signed the contract. The results have been even worse than we'd feared. The licenses were late, enforcement was bad. We had to set up a duplicate record system at the county level. The inspection data center of the state was never properly tabulated. Facilities were licensed that we wouldn't know about for a very long time. And there was no way we could reconcile our books with the state, and we still feel in Blaine County we're several $1,000s short on our reimbursements for fees. Consistently, we have tried to communicate with the state to clarify these problems, but either there's no response or it's many months later. During this current legislative session, the rumor mill, which it seems to be pretty good around the state of Oregon, started that the health division was intending to set up a separate district system of sanitation services in which they would administer community environmental sanitation services. I immediately phoned the state health division to alert them that the rumors were going around, and suggesting the best way to stop rumors was to clarify what their objectives were and exactly what they had in mind. Again, that was about 6 or 8 weeks ago, and I don't have a response yet. But AOC was able to find out there are 17 new community sanitation positions in the state health division budget. I've always pressed our staff to try to set up good communications with the state health division, but I do find that the counties in the other parts of the state are having the same types of problems in enforcement and licensing and communication. And I just have to come to the conclusion that the local health departments throughout the state are experiencing a high degree of frustration in trying to get the job done. And I think the result is 2106, which is attempting to clarify some of these problems. The reason I dwell on this, I think maybe 2106 is more important bill than it just appears on the surface. I think maybe it has the potential of establishing a precedent again for delivery of community services, whereby there would be some type of understanding that the states and counties are in a partnership, that the state has some responsibility for setting statewide program standards, for monitoring the quality of programs, and in those counties unable or unwilling to provide quality community services, you know, maybe the state should provide them themselves. I also think counties should retain a fair share of the licensing fees for restaurants, swimming pools, and travelers and tourist facilities, and also where they are providing other services for other divisions of the state, such as the care facilities, public welfare, they should also get a share of this fee. Because the counties are experiencing about the same level of financial problems as it is the state. Blaine County, I just learned that our AOC funds are down and we will be some $3 million short next year. ONC, I mean, of balancing our budget right now. And so we really think there ought to be some understanding of a fair share of fee distribution. Thank you very much.
I just have two concluding remarks. It was our intent that with this bill we would have remained in the statute a provision for the health division to monitor, and if they found a problem with the county and the delegation, they would be able to come in and revoke or suspend that delegation. I find that the reference that we were using, which was 431-170, which has a list of provisions that the counties administer for the health division, does not include those programs that are we're amending here. So we would have to probably, and we've agreed with the health division, to work out some system problem. I mean, if the county was using either the statutory fees or were setting their own reasonable fees, that we would have certain earmarking of money for the administration by the Health Division of the monitoring program.
I want to get to Representative Peck's testimony, but I wish you wouldn't leave. I want, as I told you before, the explanation of Section 3 at the bottom of page 3 and the legal liability of the state. Who's going to answer that question?
It appears three places, Madam Chairman.
Yes,
Most unique provision I've ever seen. Well, let me say this.
I don't want to address it now. I want to get to Representative Peck. Representative Peck?
328. You have to bring the state in. If the county would reasonably carry out the local division.
Thank you.
I was acting as speaker that morning when this came up, and I was horrified when I saw that I was up there and here was this bill, and I wasn't even going to have an opportunity to speak against it. But I'm sort of fenced in my timing. I have meetings every morning at 8, and I don't know, somehow this has slipped up in me, and it was stupid. I'm here this morning because my committee's making a special trip out to the state hospital to look into a complaint we've had, and I checked into it pretty thoroughly over the weekend, so I felt I could be here this morning. But I feel bad about this bill passing. I went to the sponsor of the bill, and he told me he just had introduced it for someone in his county, I think the director of elections or something. And he didn't have any particular concerns for the bill, and I understand he's not going to appear on behalf of the bill for you when you have the regular hearing. I have with me a copy of the Legislative Interim Committee on Social Problems in 1962. Senator Chapman was the chairman, and I was vice chairman, and we had on it Senator Francis and Bill Galder and these people, and we traveled around the state a lot. We had a real blessing in our committee in that our executive secretary was Kathleen Buffay. Senator Chapman has gotten legislative counsel to let her go with it. And as I say, she and I visited several courts and all concerning marriage and divorce laws, and we were also on sex offender laws, and we made quite a stiff, many trips to, I'll say, United States practically. But we came up, this is when we came out with the 7-day waiting period. And the little explanation here is very brief, and I'd like to take time to read it to you. The traditional reasons given for the 3-day waiting period between applications for and granting of a marriage license is that this was a sufficient time for sobriety to be restored. Providing more time for consideration of the decision to marry is important. Dr. Lester Kirkendall, who took part in our testimony, also emphasized that making public the decision to marry had advantage in that it required the couple to discuss their plans both with each other and with other people. From these discussions may come new knowledge of each other, particularly as to expectations regarding marriage. And our recommendation that the waiting period for marriage license be extended to 7 days, the committee would have recommended an even longer period if there were any system of premarital counseling available during the period between the application for and granting of the license. We took away the waiting period at one time, and I was horrified to find this out. Someone called me with a session, I wasn't here, and asked me about this, and I said we had still had the waiting day, the 3-day waiting period, and then I went to the council and found out that we didn't have. But we had it restored, and there were some attempts made from time to time to take it away. But we found that it was something to be considered seriously, because a bad marriage can be the beginning of much, much trouble. And to wait a bit, there are many people who make applications and don't go back and get their licenses. There's, you know, whatever it is that made them think that this is a great guy or gal they want to spend their life with changed some way during their time. And of course, it calls for the medical examination. That we had back when I was even in high school. I remember an old teacher we had there, an old English teacher, who said it someone asks you to hop over to Washington to get married, don't marry him. You waste. He doesn't mean you any good. If you didn't say it like that carefully in language, but he doesn't mean you any good if he's going to take you over there to marry. You stay here or you take an examination. And this has worked out. That, of course, I don't know what arguments the person who asked Mr. The sponsor of this bill to introduce it had in mind. I think they talked just mostly of venereal diseases and how quick they could make this test. But we found in our trip there are other things to be considered. We had two very conscientious doctors who testified during our hearings that they had discovered mental retardation in one of the applicants on two different occasions, and they followed through in the time they had and made these people aware of this in some way so that the marriage didn't occur because of the children that might be coming up from the marriage. And in some instances, it's the stepchildren that are concerned about that deserve a little more consideration than just a quick idea their dad or their mother wants to marry again without giving them a little consideration. We had so many reasons shown to take time to really seriously consider this marriage application. There were waivers. If it's a real emergency, it can be done, but to just do away with the marriage waiting period at all would make me feel that we've really let our state down. We'd open the door to just anybody coming in for a quick marriage, and we would just be serving the people of Oregon wrong. We may have our different ideas on moral issues, on what we consider civil liberties. I was shocked last Sunday to find out that they can't make a face in the state hospital and take a bath anymore if they don't want it. The person said, I don't want a bath. No matter how badly they need them, they can't, they can't make them take it. It's just hard to believe, you know, you think taking a bath is part of taking care of people. But we've gone so far on civil liberties that you can do just about everything you want to do. But I think that marriage is the beginning of such a, should be a beautiful arrangement, and people find out that it isn't, that they can divorce, and all this sort of thing. I think we have fair divorce laws and all this, but we should start at the bottom when we plant the seed of marriage, and this means children in most cases, we should be careful. And I have been proud, and I've attended a couple of national legislative conferences and taken part in the discussion to try to have uniform marriage laws, even divorce laws, but particularly uniform marriage laws throughout the state. And in this, we have later in the story, or just in this report, it tells of other states who joined us with this idea. And I would ask you to give serious consideration.
Thank you, Representative.
To do this. This bill wasn't put in by a group of people who experienced marriage who want it. Someone, I don't know, in the lessons, whether it's the time that it takes in bookkeeping or whatever it is, records or anything, but nothing can be more important than a good marriage. I'm sure you all realize this, and I can't see where Oregon is going to go ahead one doggone bit by taking away this waiting period that has her stand out as a good, conscientious state interested in her people and all that's concerned, particularly the young people who may later be involved.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you for coming up.
I think there are other members of the House, about 13 who voted against us, Representative Paulson, and several others who want to testify, but due to other appointments and hearings, I don't know if they're all able to get here now.
Dr. Cherry is here.
I think he's going to send a note to you because his ways and means to it won't permit him to come, but I think they're all concerned, and I think that you'll hear from them in some way.
Fine.
Thanks again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Max at 2106, Bob Oliver.
Madam Chairperson, my name is Bob Oliver, Administrator of the Health Division, and I'm here today to express our opposition to House Bill 2106. Now, at the outset, I'd like to say that there are two points which we regard as more mischievous than anything else. First of all,
just a minute, please. 2106 in my book comes after 2229.
That's why we had trouble finding
unusual.
The new man. The bill indicates that it's by order of the speaker at the request of the Health Division, Department of Human Resources. In its original form, this bill was at our request. It's been, what we had, it's been completely stripped out, and something which we're not particularly happy with is that put it in place. So I would respectfully ask, if the committee passes without anything like this form, that the at the request line be taken out. Second, the measure summary is somewhat mischievous in that it says it permits the administrator of the Health Division to delegate these functions, whereas actually the bill clearly makes it mandatory, and I believe the sponsors of the bill have so indicated, clearly makes it mandatory that the administrator bring about this delegation at the request of the county. There have been statements made by the witnesses. No doubt they are true that there have been instances during the time the Health Division has administered the present law that licenses have been late or have not been issued or inspections have been failed to be done. We'll concede that where you're inspecting 6,000 facilities across the state, things are not always done in a timely manner. I don't have any knowledge of what went on in the Health Division back beyond 6 months when I came in. I rather suspect my predecessor, or one of my predecessors, that used some horror stories himself when, back in 1973 with regard to the county's performance of these functions. And I think the point is maybe instead of shuffling duties from place to place to try to correct deficiencies, deficiencies themselves should be addressed. But at any rate, we object to the bill on several grounds. First of all, it eliminates entirely the concept of a contract. The words themselves, contract with, are stricken out, and it's made a delegation.
What if contract will restore it? Then what would you feel about it?
Well, that would help to some extent, Chairman.
Where's that?
In on page 2, lines 5 and 6, formerly said the administrator shall contract with, and now it says shall delegate to. Now, my understanding of the import of this change would be that contract normally is for a time certain and is renewable with negotiation and demonstration that it's been performed properly, whereas a delegation, as far as I can see in this bill, is a once and forever kind of thing. There is no provision in here which would permit the Health Division first to require a county to demonstrate that it's capable of carrying out the rules of the division relating to inspections, licensing, and enforcement. All the county has to do is express willingness to carry out these rules.
Madam Chairman, may I ask a question? After, let's assume that the delegation of the power is left to the county, and the suggestion from the last witness that the power review and restriction of the duties by that delegation be left to the Division of Health, would that not in any way get to the problem?
That would go very far towards eliminating the objections we have to that matter. The now, we do not object too much to the second subsection of Section 1, which says the county may determine and retain fees for any functions. That's pretty much between the county commissioners.
Well,
and
before we leave that first section, let me ask you, where you could contract with the County Board of Commissioners. Did you contract in any case?
Have we contracted?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. In this case, how many? 26 instances we have contracted.
You contracted with 26 counties?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Are there any instances where a county has wanted to contract and we denied? No. The other 10 never have.
Okay.
In subsection 2, having to do with the setting and retention of fees by the county, the actual amount the county sets is, of course, more the concern of the facilities involved than it is of the Health Division, because under this bill, we wouldn't be involved in the stream at all. We would ask that if we have the responsibility to see that the county is doing its job properly, this means we have to have auditors out in the field. It means we have to do some other things in connection with that. And as Mr. Fultz indicated earlier, we would hope the committee would consider in that case some kind of provision for part of the fee to cover the administrative costs of the division. Finally, getting down to subsection 3, and I would say that I don't have to go through all these sections because our objections are parallel in all three. It indicates that in any action, suit, or proceeding arising out of the county administration of functions, the division must be made a party if the county is carrying out the rules of the division. To me, this implies that if there is, for example, an instance of non-compliance with the rules that a county has discovered, the county, which will initiate proceedings for suspension, revocation, or whatever. During this session, the Legislative Assembly has expressed great concern about arbitrary action by state agencies against the various citizens. Our defense has been that we are at least restrained by the Administrative Procedures Act. I'm not sure, however, that a county in proceeding against a facility that's licensed under here would have any inhibition whatsoever under the Administrative Procedures Act. Your counsel may have some thoughts on that, but I don't believe it would. That's my initial impression. So the committee might want to consider some kind of procedural safeguard which would protect facilities in the cases of actions brought by county.
If it were done pursuant to contract, do you feel that the state would be free of liability then?
For wrongful revocation?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that my initial feeling would be if the state was not negligent in entering into the contract. In other words, if the health division had assured itself the county was not only willing but was able to carry it on properly and had no reason to believe the county would be arbitrary or discriminatory, I would think the state would be off the hook as far as liability is concerned if the county thereafter acted wrongfully. I'm not so sure under this delegation theory that too bothers me. It's pretty much a rubber stamp at the request of the county. If the county acts wrongfully, I'm not sure what our liability would be next. I think, too, that some indication should be made in the bill as to who actually issues the physical license. It's an expensive thing for anybody to keep the tabulation of licensees, either across the state or within a given jurisdiction, to send out renewal notices in a timely manner, collect the money, bank the money, print the licenses, mail them out. As I read the bill, I assume the health division would continue to bear that cost, even though it was doing it for counties, which were retaining all of their fees. So I would think that here again, Mr. Falk may be willing to negotiate this. I would think that if the committee wants to go this way, some consideration should be given to the health division for this labor out of the fees which the county collected. Frankly, however, my feeling, Madam Chairman, is if the committee wants to make the counties primarily responsible for the licensing, inspection, revocation, and so forth with regard to these facilities, make it a county license issued by the county and not a state license. I feel rather silly if a license goes out from my agency certifying that the people at such and such place are all right to eat in or swim in or sleep in, and we haven't inspected it and we've had no control over who is. I think the county should be the one that, if it's going to have all these responsibilities and duties, should bear whatever onus would come out of the slip-up. In other words, due respect, Lane County should have the license if Lane County is going to do all the work and get all the fees and not the health division.
Question for Mr. Oliver. Senator,
you suppose, and we should ask, what they're trying to get at is if your rules are really the problem. And the narrow delegation requirement is they can only enforce your rules. And if they're legitimately and fairly enforcing your rules, but it's your rules that are causing the problem, and they have no authority to change the rules, then do you think that's probably what they're getting at, is that they like to have you swept into the discussion at the court time to decide whether it's their enforcement or your rules that are causing the problem.
Well, I would think that we're getting into a separate question, really. We have uniformity enforcement and uniformity rules. Another question, should there be statewide rules? If that's what, if I understand you correctly, Senator, are you asking, have we taken into account the expressions by county officials in formulating our rules?
Well, let me put this. I've never seen anything in my life that I can recall that looks like those three paragraphs denominated number three. And I'm trying to make some sense out of it because it's impossible for a plaintiff to determine whether they're reasonably carrying out the rules. So in every case, the plaintiff would be well advised to join the health division.
I'm sure that if I were
and
if that's
the case,
plaintiff, I would. Every
yeah,
case.
You can't run the risk otherwise. No. But there would be two issues if I were representing a disgruntled citizen that did not get a license under or denied a license or revoked or whatever. One would be that the enforcement, if you will, the inspection was faulty. They didn't follow the rules of the division or whatever. And that's a county matter if it's a county. But it might also be that your rules at the state level are capricious, whimsical, unconstitutional, whatever it may be. And what I'm trying to get at is, do you see any problem in that area? If you're not joined, I can see the county just taking a quick dodge and saying, all we're doing is enforcing the company rules and taking a dive and or getting stuck for enforcing your rules. I don't see how we want that stand, but maybe the thing we ought to do is just say any time the county sues, the state joins.
I think that would be the cleaner way.
Is that fair, though, in light of your earlier conversation, that when you delegate responsibility and authority, maybe you delegate the liability as well? And what I'm trying to examine is, do you recognize, is there, and I'm not certain, do you recognize any responsibility on the state, even after all the delegation of the fees and responsibility and authority, that they're playing the game by your rules? So I would contend that the state's still on the hook because you wrote the rule book. And if in fact the error is in the rule, as opposed to being the enforcement, the state ought to be stuck, it would seem to me. Do you have any objection to that theory?
I can't argue with the theory. The problem is, Senator, I think that what the bill is trying to do is fundamentally unworkable. And it's hard for me to think of amendments and remedies that would really make the doggone thing work.
What was your bill being, Madam Chairman? What did it look like when it was on?
Oh, it had to do with water supplies.
Do you have any trouble with the humanity argument?
Well, I
putting
would,
on your legislative council. Hat?
Well, I would raise the question as to whether this bill, let's see, it already had it. In its original form, it was read twice. An entirely new bill was slipped in under the enacting clause, so one could argue that this bill has not been read twice.
Well, in other words, it's now relating to public health, which is, legislative council is wising up now. That if you notice, every year the titles get broader and broader.
Right.
They're going to eventually come down relating to a change in law or something like that, and so you can do this. But having been a victim of very recent time of having a bill I sponsored jacked up and a whole new bill going the other direction, I'm very sensitive to this area. And it would seem to me if the relating clause related only to water, that you've got a real humanity problem. It may have related to public health. I think they're getting fuzzy down there to avoid that problem.
And
there's
another question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Madam Chairman, I'd just like to
mention
Mr. Oliver between the 73 and 75 legislature, I went through particular hell from my constituency complaining about the department. And they were treated, in my opinion, in judgment in a cavalier manner, having to do with subjects as broad as sanitation to safety, to the authorization of school plans for laboratories. And I had a very difficult time restraining myself. I lost a couple of times and didn't do it. And I hope that just because the health division is large, that it's going to be responsive to people. And I know you, and I've known you a long time, and I know how you feel about getting from your position down to the person on the ground. The implementation is very difficult, and I hope that you recognize that the division of health certainly didn't do anything to improve government relations with people.
Say I'm seeing government from another different perspective than those which I've had before.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Fulp, do you want to return and address that question?
Yes, and the question on the liability following Senator Carson's comment, that's precisely what we were trying to get at. The several instances have occurred, particularly with DEQ rules on relating to subsurface sewage, where a county has been enforcing those rules. And on the basis of the rules, the county was sued. And DEQ, although they wanted to become a party, the Attorney General said no, and we've been stuck in the line and having to defend ourselves on the basis and defend the rules of the Department of Environmental Quality. Now, with respect to that, we have inserted here Health Division, and we have also produced a separate measure, which is in your committee, which is House Bill 2281, with different wording. I thought I'd just pass that out to give you an idea of what the Attorney General has suggested. This language was agreed upon by Jackson Frost, the district attorney from Linn County, and the AG's office. We're going to do further checking with them to make sure that this is legitimate language. But that's primarily the problem, and that is when we are doing nothing more than enforcing the rules of a state agency, and we're sued on the basis of those rules, we feel the state agency could be made a party to the suit. I think that's the language that's in 2281 right now. It's just different. This bill, 2106, went through the House before 2281 was revised, but I would suggest that that's probably better language.
Any questions? Yes.
Madam Chairman, Gordon, can you help us on that relating clause? I can go back and look at the bill. Do you know how much, what did the original bill say in the relating clause?
Well, the original bill dealt with water supply systems, and as we asked about it, it was a public health bill, and that's obviously what we intended to put in there. We were concerned because bills have been obviously defeated just on the basis of the germaneness subject, so that's why we wanted to be sure that we were covered in that.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Fulp. Bruce Cunningham?
I'm inclined to speak. I think the proponents have a little bit more complaint.
Thank you very much. Does anybody have any motions to make?
Yes, Madam Chairman, I move we reconsider the vote by which 967 passed out of committee.
Motion is that we reconsider the vote by which Senate Bill 967 passed out of the committee. Discussion? Clerk call roll.
Carson?
Aye.
Roberts?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Madam Chairman?
Aye. Any other
more? Madam, I move that we reconsider the vote by which 3013 passed.
Motion is that we reconsider the vote by which 3013 passed. Discussion? Clerk call roll.
Mr. Carson?
Aye.
Roberts?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Madam Chairman?
Aye. House Bill 2943, Joe Sim.
Chairman, I'm Joe Sim, Children's Service Division. House Bill 2943 is somewhat similar to Senate Bill 3, which was tabled in this committee very early in the game. Essentially, what the bill would do is transfer jurisdiction of all juvenile court traffic offenses to the have an amendment to the adult court, whether it be municipal or district court. I am not speaking for the Children's Services Division in this instance. I'm simply indicating to you that I think that this is not a good bill, that the present statutes that provide for blanket remand, but at least allow the juvenile court discretion as to whether to remand the youngster or not remand the youngster, is better law. And I would strongly urge the committee to consider not taking action on this bill, but leaving the present statute as it is. I've talked to Kay Ostrom of the Marion County Juvenile Court, and he strongly supports the position that I'm stating at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. House Bill 2683.
Look and see.
Steve Allen.
My name is Steve Allen. I have a brief message for Representative Van Vliet that he's in committee now because he can. That this bill alleviates inadequacy of the situation that now exists, and it's basically a housekeeping bill. Representative is from the ballot. There it is.
What's the situation now? Don't they provide for their first hours for their court reporters?
They got them in each county, man.
That is not commensurate.
Well, they used to call for a split, and I think now they got them in both. So,
you mean the court reporters serve both counties?
I think so. Looks like 2/3 of the time in Linn County and 1/3 of the time in Benton County. But it would appear that we have a full-time official court reporter in Benton and a full-time official court reporter in Lynn.
Any questions? Thank you. I think Mick already testified on 2337, didn't he, John? Okay.